Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you that we can come and rejoice in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, your indwelling presence here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear and receive what the Spirit is speaking to us tonight. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord, because you are our treasure. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, that's what I'm going to be talking about. And is Jesus our treasure? Kind of going to look at, kind of make you think about and look at your own lives and maybe give you some food for thought here on whether or not where your treasure is and is ultimately is Jesus your treasure. We're going to start here in Matthew 6. Verse 19, and as we look at this, we're going to talk about, you know, maybe some things, can look at an internal perspective maybe, and look at some things that maybe we need to put off of some of the earthly issues we may be having. But in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So, tonight, you know, we're going to look at some things about what it looks like to lay up treasures in heaven. But first, I'd like to talk a little bit about garbage to you. Would that be all right? When I told my wife I was going to talk about garbage, she thought, "Oh my goodness, I hope your message isn't garbage." But you know, when you spend, like me, this week I've spent 60 hours collecting garbage this week. So on my mind, lots of times, is garbage. And, you know, the thing about garbage, you can tell a lot about a person by looking at their garbage. You can. I mean, you know, there's people, you know, you see their garbage, you can tell that they have a busy life. They eat out a lot, probably, and, you know, by what's in their garbage. And you can tell people, of course, you know, you got the cat lady I got this one person and her whole, she has just a little thing and it's so heavy because the whole thing's full of cat litter. And so, you know, this person has a whole lot of cats. And, you know, you got people that, you know, are very neat because they'll have all their garbage in garbage bags. There is nothing that frustrates a garbage person more than a person that has all their garbage just loose in their garbage can. Because guess what happens when the wind blows and that your garbage goes everywhere? So many times we say, "Boy, these people have not heard the invention of a garbage bag." So just keep that in mind. I don't want to make you feel bad if you don't put your garbage in a garbage bag. But if you don't, please do. It makes our life a whole lot easier. But you can tell those people that, I mean, some people have the cleanest garbage can with nice, everything's nice and clean in a garbage bag. And then you got some people that just takes all their leftovers and pour it in there. And it's just the nastiest thing you ever did see. But on that token, though, too, and just like today, this morning was our first cleanup, town cleanup on a Saturday. We went over to Colfax this morning and did the town cleanup. And me and my grandson, which is his first day at working today with me, and we picked up 8,725 pounds of garbage that we picked up manually and threw in the garbage. So I may be old, but I am strong. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. But my thought is, every day when I'm picking up garbage and just like town cleanups, it made me think, everything you buy, you know, some people are into to really nice things, and you'll see it in the garbage. I mean, everything you purchase, whether it be the food or your couches, your nice furniture in your home, and your electronics, and your video games, they're already upstairs, but we found a whole box of video games, and my grandson saw that, and he thought, hey, yeah, look at this. And no, it goes in the garbage. But everything we purchase, everything you spend your money on, someday, it's going to be in a landfill. That's where it all goes. It all ends up in a landfill. That nice new truck I got outside there, one day it's going to be a pile of rust and not run, and it's going to be in a salvage yard. Everything that you purchase, you're not going to take it with you. It's just going to be garbage. Everything. Now, I'm not saying it's not, you can't have nice things and you shouldn't go out and buy these nice little things, and that's fine, but just think about it, you know. Someday, it's just going to be garbage. You're going to throw it away. Let's look at Matthew 19. I also wanted to talk about garbage so you wouldn't be thinking about what you're going to eat after church. Gross you out a little bit, which I could have really grossed you out. I was being nice. Because it's getting hot, and summer's coming, and the garbage gets a whole lot grosser, let me tell you. That's the only good thing about winter, like garbage. It doesn't smell so bad, and it's not going there. Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why call me good? There is no one but good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I lack yet? Jesus said to him, If you will be perfect, go and sell what you have. Give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. And come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, What then can be saved? And Jesus told them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then answered Peter and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to you, that which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know, this rich young man loved his money more than following after God. Now, the issue wasn't that he was rich, and that, you know, he had these things, but things that he had was more treasure than what he could have had in Christ. He chose the world's treasure. He was unwilling to make Jesus his treasure. He was a religious young man that Jesus exposed his heart of where his real treasure was. And it was basically greed. You know, I was talking about things. You know, God isn't against us having things. He definitely isn't getting you having money. It's, you know, the love of money and putting that over in him is where the problem is. And I thought I would also just be a little nerdy, like Pastor. He likes numbers. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of a numbers thing tonight about some of where our money goes. I mean, everybody needs a house to live in. You know, you got to buy a house. You got to have a house to live in. But I just want to share with you things we don't think about our house mortgages. So I'm going to give you a little bit of numbers here. Say you go out and buy a $300,000 home, which, you know, in this area isn't going to get you a lot. But we're just going to use that for example, a $300,000 home. Let's say you put 20% down. The interest rate now is going at 6.33, something around there. So your loan amount's going to be $240,000 because you put $60,000 down on that house if you put 20% down. Your home insurance, property tax, you got to figure in there. So your monthly payment's going to be $2,249.50 for that $300,000 home you just bought. 30-year mortgage. After you've had that and it belongs to you, you have just spent roughly $700,000 for your $300,000 home. You don't think about that when you're buying a home. You just, what's my monthly payment? And that's usually what you're concerned about. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? But it's life. I mean, you do have to have a place to live. You know, our treasure should be Jesus most of all. When Jesus is our treasure, we'll commit our resources, you know, our money, our time, our talents, to the work in this world. We'll be motivated to serve him, and our motivation for what we do is very important. There in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Oh, you know what? I'm going to get out of the King James. I'm going to get in the New Living Translation like Pastor and them. And the only New Living Translation I have is in my yearly Bible here, so it was a little tough finding this. Colossians 3. And I'm going to read quite a bit here. But I want the word to do to the work on your hearts here. It says, since you have been raised to new life, you know, here in Colossians 3, it's Paul's encouraging us that there is eternal rewards for serving the Lord. And also in this passage, it's telling us some things, some earthly things that maybe we need to put off if the Lord Jesus is our treasure. So I'm going to read here. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the people He loves, you must clothe yourself with See, I told you it's tough, difficult here. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as never and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. A lot in there. You know that last one, you know, we think about that as at your job, you know. Sometimes we may not care for our job that much, but do it as unto the Lord, and you'll have favor there. I was just telling Dwight, I had my yearly review and got a nice little raise again because, you know, it is just, I just don't understand people these days when it comes to work, that they can't get the one fundamental first thing you got to do is show up. It really is. I just don't get it. It's like, that's why I always tell it. I've been, you know, they have me training people here, new drivers a lot, and I always tell them, number one, show up, be dependable. Number two is an easy thing too. When you're here, do the work that they ask you to do. I said, And that goes a long way. And then thirdly, go above and beyond and do it in excellence. And then they'll treat you right. I think lots of young people think they're doing a favor, you know. The employer is just lucky that they're working for them. You know, and let's go to 1 Timothy. Well, I got this out. New Living Translation. You know, there's hope for us all. You know, we need the things of God, you know, should be what we're aiming for, the treasure. Because all the other things come in line. You know, so there in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, we don't have to be so concerned and so I got to have this, I need this. You know, when you put him first, seek after him first, serve him, those things will come along. But make him your number one priority. But, you know, you may think that, well, you know, I've done some bad things and you know, God's just not going to treat me like real well, and, you know, no matter what I do. But I think this next passage here is a little bit of encouragement from Paul. He's speaking to Timothy, a little young pastor here. And it gives you an insight of what God did with Paul. It says there in chapter 1, verse 12, says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy in appointing me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence I persecuted his people. You know, he was okay with going out and killing Christians. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. I just love that passage because I think about my own life. It's like, why in the world God chose me to do ministry? I was definitely unworthy to do any kind of ministry work. I mean, I did some bad things in my past. I was a sinner, which I know I was a sinner. I just can't believe some people that, you know, the religious people. I mean, I think that's why some people, you know, they think they were okay, they were doing pretty good. You know, I'm a pretty good person, which, you know, I wasn't a bad person. I didn't necessarily treat people terrible. I mean, you know, all the other sinners around me, before I told you, I was quite a swell guy. But I wasn't. But boy, oh boy. When Jesus gets a hold of you and you realize his great love for you and his forgiveness for you and the things you have in store for you, he becomes your treasure. He becomes your value. He becomes your desire. Speaking of desires, well, first, you know, tell us there in Hebrews 11, you know, said, you know, Paul's telling there earlier about reward in heaven. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But desires, let's look at the Psalms. I can't, making God your treasure, and that it kind of made me think about in Psalms 37, 2. And I think some people, I mean, it's this passage is kind of two-sided, not to agree, but I think some people kind of misunderstand this. And it's Psalms 37, I'm going to start in verse 3. Verse 4 is really what I want to get to, but verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, verily you shall be fed. In verse 4 it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. People love that verse and think, man, God's going to give me whatever I desire. Yes! Woo! I desire a 1969 Super Sport Camaro. All I got to do is pray for God and he's going to give it to me. No. That'd be all right, though. You know, I thought back when I was going to Rhema, I had a Harley, sold it before we went to Rhema. And my silly thinking was, oh, man, I gave up my Harley. And, you know, when I get done going to Rhema, God's going to give me a new one it's going to be paid for and not going to cost me anything. I was thinking, you know, gosh, I'm coming to serve him, following him. And boy, I'm going to have when I get back, you know, sometime there, he's going to give me another Harley. And by gosh, I'm going to go out there and minister to all them bikers, you know, and on my new Harley that he's going to give me. But it's been 20 years and that hasn't happened yet since I graduated. So that word desire, it comes from a word, a nag, which is a really fine cloth or clothing, really a marvelous piece of clothing. And it's like, I'm going to delight him, not because of what God has necessarily done for me, but I delight in him for how marvelous he is. Just for who he is. That's my delight and my pleasure in him, for who he is. He's that wonderful, marvelous. He's my treasure that I'm seeking after. Just because of who he is. Not necessarily for what he's going to do for me. Now, what can I do for him? I delight in him. Now, it doesn't mean that God, you know, he wants you to give you some things. I mean, God's given me some things that I've desired. I'm not saying he doesn't do that. You know, I can, you know, many, many things that he's brought to pass. Well, many times I've desired to be healed. By gosh, he healed me. You guys have been around here. You know all the healing things he's done for me. God is good. When we were looking for, lost a job, brought a job to me. Looking for a new home, Got it at home, above and beyond my expectations. So he will give you some desires of your heart, but not because I'm looking for things. It's because I'm looking at him, and he's directing me. You know, pastor's been talking about the Holy Spirit, how he leads you and guides you. You can put your trust in him. Let's go to Proverbs 3. I can't get through without showing you one of my favorites. If you've been listening to me much here, you know what one of my favorite verses is in Proverbs. Deb, do you know it? She knows it. Proverbs 3. Three, five, yep. Well, you know what? Let's just start in verse 1. It's all good. But we're going to get to 5. It says, "Son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you." Some things that we heard earlier. "Forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." You know, I always think of that when my job. Boy, do I have favor at my job. I do. Lots of favor. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones." Thank you, Lord, for your healing. "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine." As I was saying earlier, Jesus is your treasures. What did I say? When he strips our treasure, we will commit our resources, our money, our time, our talents to his work in this world. Hallelujah. You know, I don't even think about, I don't even have to ponder this paycheck. Am I going to tithe or not? It's just given. It belongs to him, not me. Okay, you don't like that. But it is, you know. That money, I could go out and save it up. Give me that 1967. I said 69, but 67 Camaro, because I had a 67 Camaro and that was working on, didn't finish it. And Jessica hated that I sold it. I don't know if she thought she was going to get it someday or not, but but yeah, you know, you look at that. It's just, we all did our taxes, you know, just recently, and you know, you look at your giving statements and think, wow, that's a lot of money. Could have done something with that. But I mean, I don't think that. But me and Dwight was just talking about the standard deduction was so dang high this year that you can get. So, you know, that's one thing I hope. And if that's the reason why you give, it's the wrong reason anyway. If you think if you're giving because you want a tax deduction, your giving's not probably going to do you any good anyway. You're giving the wrong heart. He's looking at our hearts, guys. He's looking where your treasure is. Where is your treasure? Is it in Him or is it in things? That's just what I wanted to get across to you tonight. Just give you, think about those things. Because everything that you have now, it's just going to be garbage. It's just going to be garbage. I'm going to pick it up someday. I'm going to take it, pick it up, throw it in a landfill. That's where it's going. Just something to think about. And I think, you know, I can look at the trash and kind of look at where people are at. And it makes me think, well, God looks at our garbage. He knows where our treasure is. It's easy for Him to figure out where we put our treasure in. I hope you just think about it a little bit and decide, you know, is He going to be your treasure or these things of this world? Because, you know, two, you know, as we get older, we really know where value is. Because it just seemed like yesterday we just got out of high school, right? And here we are. And can't take any of it with us. Your values kind of change a little bit. Value your relationship with Jesus most of all. Value your family. God values family. He made family. Value your relationship with your husband and your wife. That's very important to the Lord. Father, I just thank You for these people here tonight. I hope, Lord, that they just examine their lives and realize that You are the greatest treasure. We love You, Jesus. Couldn't repay You back, God, for giving us that great gift of Your Son. The most precious treasure that we could ever ask for. And that wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. That didn't last very long, I'm sure, but I think I got my point across. So, you know, go on out. Have you something to eat. Think about the garbage while you're eating. Might be able to get a little on a diet. Please buy some garbage bags.